Welcome to Zichru Daf Simani, my name is Avram Goldar, and today we're in Sechah Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rami Bar Chama Tana Braisa that says that the wicks and oils that are prohibited to use for Shabbos lights cannot be used to kindle within the base of Migdash. And this is based on the Pasuk, Lalos Ner Tamid, to kindle the lamp continually. Rami Bar Chama explains the Braisa that the unusual use of the word Lahalos, to cause to ascend, teaches that one must choose wicks and oils of which their flame will ascend by itself. So this excludes the wicks and oils which are prohibited to use for Shabbos candles due to their poor ability to be lit. Number two, was Tana Braisa that the essential mitzvah of Hanukkah lights is one light each night per household. Ner ish ubeso. Mahadrin, each person in the household lights one per night. And Mahadrin mina Mahadrin, so Beis Shammai says that on the first day of Hanukkah one kindles eight lights, and then each following day he decreases the amount by eliminating one light. Beis Hillel says that on the first day of Hanukkah, one kindles one light, and then each following day he adds another light. So Rav Yossi bar Avin and Rav Yossi bar Zvida disagree on what the reasoning was behind the ruling of Beis Shammai and what the reasoning was behind the ruling of Beis Hillel. One holds that Beis Shammai's reason for decreasing the number of lights each night is to correspond to the days of Hanukkah which are yet to come, while Beis Hillel's reason for increasing the number of lights each night is to correspond to the days that have passed. The other holds that Beis Shammai's reason for decreasing the number of lights each night is to correspond to the bull offerings which were brought on Sukkahs, which diminish each day. And Beis Hillel's reason for increasing the number of lights each night is based on the principle of Malim B'Kodesh Me'in Moridin. In sacred matters, we elevate the degree of sanctity and we do not lower the degree. So we go up, we don't go down. And point number three, the Gemara provides the origins of Hanukkah after asking the question, My Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? And Rashi explains the question as follows, because of what miracle were they koveh Hanukkah? Because of what miracle did they establish Hanukkah? So the Gemara answers that for 8 days it's not permitted to fast or give hespedim because of the miracle of the oil that was supposed to be lit for 1 day and lasted for 8 days. In the following year, these 8 days were established as the Yom Tovim of Hallel and Hodah, Hallel and Thanksgiving. All right, so let's review. So point number one, Rabbi Bar Chama Tana Braisa that says that the wicks and oils that are prohibited to use for Shabbos lights can't be used to kindle within the base of Migdash, and it's based on the pasuk Lahalos Ner Tamid, to kindle the lamp continually. Rami Bar Chama explains the Braisa that the unusual use of the word Lahalos, to cause to ascend, teaches that one must choose wicks and oils of which their flame will ascend by itself. So this excludes the wicks and oils which are prohibited to be used for Shabbos candles due to their poor ability to be lit. Point number two is taught in the Braisa that the essential mitzvah of Hanukkah lights is one light each night per household. Ner ish ubeso. Mahadrin, each person in the household lights one per night. And Mahadrin min Mahadrin is Malchukas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that on the first day of Hanukkah, one kindles eight lights, and then each following day he decreases the amount by eliminating one light. Beis Hillel said on the first day of Hanukkah, one kindles one light, and then each following day he adds another light. So Rav Yossi bar Avin and Rav Yossi bar Zvida disagree on what the reasoning was behind the ruling of Beis Shammai and what the reasoning was behind the ruling of Beis Hillel. One holds that Beis Shammai's reason for decreasing the number of lights each night is to correspond to the days of the Hanukkah which are yet to come, while Beis Hillel's reason for increasing the number of lights each night is to correspond to the days that have passed. The other holds that Beis Shammai's reason for decreasing the number of lights each night is to correspond to the bull offerings which are brought in Sukkahs, which diminish each day, and Beis Hillel's reason for increasing the number of lights each night is based on the principle of Malim B'Kodesh Ve'ein Moridin. In sacred matters, we elevate the degree of sanctity and we do not lower the degree. And point number three, the Gemara provides the origins of Hanukkah after asking the question, My Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? And Rashi explains the question as follows, because of what miracle were they koveh of Hanukkah? Did they establish Hanukkah? The Gemara answers that for 8 days, it's not permitted to fast or give hespedim because of the miracle of the oil, and that it was supposed to be good for 1 day, and it lasts for 8 days. The following year, these 8 days were established as Yom Tovim Hallel and Hodav, Hallel and Thanksgiving. All right, so now let's go to our simon. So the simon for Chafal is a car. Even though Chafal doesn't sound like car, it does if you're from Boston, because you would say ka. So we're using ka, as it said by a Bostonian, meaning a car, if you're not from Boston. So here we go. The candlestick maker drove his ka around his schools before Hanukkah, demonstrating how to get an ascending flame and the various versions of Mahadrin and Mahadrin while explaining the miracle of the oil. Once again in slow motion. The candlestick maker drove his ka, that reminds us of Rav Chafal. The candlestick maker drove his ka around to schools before Hanukkah, demonstrating how to get an ascending flame, which reminds us the Rabbi Bar Chama Tana Braisa that says that the wicks and oils that are prohibited to use for Shabbos lights cannot be used to kindle within the base of Migdash. This is based on the pasuk of Lahalos Ner Tamid, to kindle the light continually. Rabbi Bar Chama explains the Braisa that the unusual use of the word Lahalos, to cause to ascend, teaches that one must choose wicks and oils of which their flame will ascend by itself. This excludes the wicks and oils which are prohibited to use for the Shabbos candles due to their poor ability to be lit. So the candlestick maker drove his car around to schools before Hanukkah, demonstrating how to get an ascending flame and the various versions of Mahadrim and Mahadrim, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brisa that the essential mitzvah of Hanukkah lights is one light each night per household. Ner Yishu Beisu. Mahadrim, each person in the household lights one per night. Mahadrim and Mahadrim, it's Malchokas Beisham Beisil. Beishamai says that the first day of Hanukkah one kindles 8 lights, and then each following day he decreases the amount by eliminating one light. Beisil says that on the first day of Hanukkah one kindles 1 light, and each following day he adds another light. And then Rav Yossi Bar Avi and Rav Yossi Bar Zavida disagree on what the reasoning was behind the rulings of Beisham and Beis Hillel. One holds that Beishamai's reason for decreasing the number of lights each night is to correspond to the days of Hanukkah which are yet to come, while Beis Hillel's reason for increasing the number of lights each night is to correspond to the days that have passed. The other holds that Beishamai's reason for decreasing the number of lights each night is to correspond to the bull offerings which were brought on Sukkahs, which diminished each day. And Beis Hillel's reason for increasing the number of lights each night is based on the principle of Malim B'Kodesh V'Ein Moridin. In sacred matters, we elevate the degree of sanctity, and we do not lower the degree. So once again, the candlestick maker drove his car around to schools before Hanukkah, demonstrating how to get an ascending flame and the various versions of Mahadrim and Mahadrim while explaining the miracle of the oil, which reminds us, the Gemara provides the origins of Hanukkah after asking the question, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? And Rashi explains this question as follows, because of what miracle did they establish Hanukkah? So the Gemara answers that for 8 days it's not permitted to fast and give hespedim because of the miracle of the oil that was supposed to be lit for 1 day and lasts for 8 days. And the following year, those 8 days were established as Yom Tov of Hallel and Hodah. So once again, the candlestick maker drove his car around to schools before Hanukkah, demonstrating how to get an ascending flame and the various versions of Mahadrim and Mahadrim while explaining the miracle of the oil. So now it's time for our four blot back Chazora. Daf Yud Zayin. So the symbol for Daf Yud Zayin is a used car. So here we go. The used car salesman, reminding us we're on Daf Yud Zayin. The used car salesman started to sell ox goads out of his trunk by the graveyard, which reminds us, the rabbis enacted that any movable item that has the thickness of an ox goad, one tefach circumference, can serve as an ohel, transmit tumah, and render the person an avad tumah. Rav Akiva explains the reason for the prohibition was as follows. Midaraisa, a farmer carrying a goad over a grave becomes a rishon through direct contact with the goat, since he might mistakenly believe that the cause of his tumah status was the goad serving as an ohel, instead of his direct contact with it, he might conclude that an ohel in general only makes someone a rishon and only requires a day-long tumah instead of the seven-day purification. The rabbis therefore decreed that any movable object that has a one tefach circumference which touches a person while serving as an ohel renders a person an avad tumah. So the used car salesman started to sell ox goads out of his trunk by the graveyard after failing with his replanting tummy tumah scheme, which reminds us that another one of the 18 enactments was the decree regarding replanted truma. Midaraisa, when truma is replanted, the resultant growth has the status of chulin and may be eaten by non-kohanim once the standard separations of trumas and maisers have been done. The rabbis were concerned that a kohen in possession of tamei truma would intend to replant it in the sowing season so the new growth would be deemed tahor and inadvertently come to eat the tamei truma in the meantime. They therefore enacted that the produce that results from replanted truma has the same status as the original truma. If the truma was tahor, the produce was tahor, and if the truma was tamei, then the produce was tamei. Therefore, there'd be no point for a kohen to replant his tamei truma. So the used car salesman started to sell ox goads out of his trunk by the graveyard after failing with his replanting tamei truma scheme and no one wanting to buy his bread, oil, or wine either, which reminds us, the bread, oil, wine, and the daughters of idolaters were prohibited as one of the 18 enactments. Prohibiting eating their bread and oil was a way to reduce socializing and prevent intermarriage. According to some, the prohibition of bread only applies to bread cooked in a private home, not commercial bread. In addition to prohibiting drinking their wine, the rabbis also forbid getting any hana, any benefit from it, as a concern of yain nesach, wine poured as a libation to idols. And while marrying non-Jewish women is prohibited from the Torah, the rabbis decree prohibited yichud with them, being in seclusion with them. Daf Yud Ches, so the symbol Yud Ches is a chuppah, so here we go. The chuppah, reminding us from Daf Yud Ches. The chuppah by the noisy water mill, where ground wheat and water landed in kneading bowls, which reminds us, there's machlokas regarding the reason why one may not put wheat in a water mill Erev Shabbos if it will continue working during Shabbos. Rabba says it's because it makes a lot of noise, which is a dishonor to Shabbos. Rav Yosef says it's due to the requirement to have one's utensils rest on Shabbos. It's an inyan of Shvisas Kalim. So the chuppah by the noisy water mill where ground wheat and water landed in kneading bowls, which reminds us that there's malchukas in a brice regarding what is required to make someone liable for the malacha of lush, of mixing. Rebbe holds that if one person contributes the flour and another puts in the water or vice versa, the last one is liable since he is the one that caused the ingredients to bind together, even though no manual mixing was done. Rabbi Yossi, the son of Yehuda, holds that one is not liable until one actually kneads the dough manually. So the chuppah by the noisy water mill where ground wheat and water landed in kneading bowls was followed by a meal of partially cooked food with raw pieces of meat served in pots straight from the oven. Which reminds us the Beis Hillel prohibits placing a pot in the oven before Shabbos, which will continue cooking during Shabbos as a precautionary measure so that one will not come to stir the coals on Shabbos of Shem Yechata. Therefore, a person may place a pot of raw food in the oven before Shabbos because the person wants it to cook through the night and there is no concern one will stir the coals. A person may place a pot of cooked food in the oven before Shabbos because, again, there is no concern he'll come to stir it. But a person may not place a pot that contains food which is partially cooked in the oven before Shabbos since there is a concern that he will stir the coals. However, if he adds a raw piece of meat into the mixture, then it can be placed in the oven before Shabbos since a person will not come to stir it. So once again, the chuppah by the noisy water mill where ground meat and water landed in kneading bowls was followed by a meal of partially cooked food with raw pieces of meat served in pots straight from the oven. Daf Yud Ches. So the symbol Yud Ches is a chuppah, ben Yud Ches or chuppah, an 18-year-old goes to chuppah. So here we go. The chuppah, reminding us we're on Daf Yud Ches. The chuppah by the noisy watermill, which reminds us that Malchuk is regarding the reason why one may not put wheat in a watermill Erev Shabbos if it will continue working during Shabbos. Rabbah says it's because it makes a lot of noise, which is a dishonor for Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef says it's through the requirement to have one's utensils rest on Shabbos. It's an inyan of Shvisas Kalim. So the chuppah by the noisy watermill where ground wheat and water landed in kneading bowls, which reminds us, there's machlokas and a brice regarding what is required to make someone liable for the malacha of lush, of mixing. Rebbe holds that if one person contributes the flour and another person puts in the water or vice versa, the last one is liable since he's the one that caused the ingredients to bind together even though no manual mixing was done. Rebbe Yossi, the son of Yehuda, holds that one is not liable until one actually kneads the dough manually. So the chuppah by the noisy watermill where ground wheat and water landed in kneading bowls was followed by a meal of partially cooked food with raw pieces of meat served in pots straight from the oven. Which reminds us, Beis Hillel prohibits placing a pot in an oven before Shabbos, which will continue cooking during Shabbos as a precautionary measure so one will not come to stir the coals on Shabbos. It's a worry of Shem Yechata. Therefore, a person may place a pot of raw food in the oven before Shabbos because a person wants to cook through the night and therefore there's no concern one will come to stir the coals. A person may also place a pot of cooked food in the oven before Shabbos because there's no concern he will come to stir it. But a person may not place a pot that contains food which is partially cooked in the oven before Shabbos since there is a concern he will stir the coals. However, if he adds a raw piece of meat into the mixture, then it can be placed in the oven before Shabbos since a person will not come to stir it. So once again, the chuppah by the noisy watermill where ground wheat and water landed in kneading bowls was followed by a meal of partially cooked food with raw pieces of meat served in pots straight from the oven. Daf Chav. So the simon Daf Chav is a cafe. So here we go. The Bendrasai Quick Serve Cafe. Cafe, that means we're on Daf Chav. The Bendrasai Quick Serve Cafe, known for serving meat in the third of the time, which reminds us, the mission at the bottom of Yutes Amid Bay stated that one may not roast meat, onions, or eggs Erev Shabbos unless there's enough time for them to become roasted before Shabbos. Rav Elazar said in the name of Rav that the Mishnah means there must be enough time for the food to become roasted as the food of Bendrasai, Malcha Bendrasai. Bendrasai was a bandit that would cook his food one-third of the normal time. That's according to Rashi. So the Bendrasai Quick Serve Cafe, known for serving meat in a third of the time, featured a huge lit pyre of wood in the center to warm its customers, which reminds us, Rav Chisda explains that we learn from the pasuk of Lo Sevaru Esh B'chol Moshvasech Miyom Shabbos, you shall not kindle fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day, that it is forbidden to ignite a fire in Moshvosechem, which means anywhere outside of the base of Migdash, as opposed to the burning of sacrificial parts and fats on the Mizbeach, the temple altar, which is permitted. However, this exemption of igniting a fire on Shabbos only applies to the Karbanos, which is, so to speak, for Hashem, and does not apply to kindling the pyre in the base of Mokad, the fire chamber, being that the fire there is only for the use of men. The reason why lighting the pyre in the base of Mokad was permitted before Shabbos, and there was no concern that one might come to stoke the fire after nightfall, is that the Kohanim are conscientious. Kohanim is reason hen, and they'll ensure no one comes to stoke it. So once again, the Bendrasai Quick Serve Cafe, known for serving meat in a third of the time, featured a huge pyre of wood in the center to warm its customers and flickering candlelight due to low quality oil and wicks, which reminds us, the opening mission of the second parak of Bamed Likin identifies wicks that may not be used for Shabbos lights because they do not hold the flame well, and fuels that are prohibited to be used because they are not easily drawn into the wick.